The first test match between Australia and England was played in Melbourne in 1877.
One of our enthusiasms is a game, this game called cricket.
In 1882, after the first win by Australia at the Oval in England, it's been known as the Ashes. The Poms and the Aussies have been trading blows with willow and leather ever since. Now, Ashes-winning legends Matthew Hayden and Mark Junior Waugh have teamed up with English spin sensation Graham Swanee Swan to bring you their views, their opinions, and show off their many other talents while Australia tours England. This is Willow Talk with Haydos, Junior and Swanee.
Well, here we go. Another Willow Talk with Mark Waugh, Matthew Hayden, Graham Swan normally on board, and Byron Cook over here to try and hold this mess of a show together. Swanee is not here. Bringing in off the bench one of the great talents, one of the great Queenslanders, an attractive left-handed batsman with a clumping cover drive. Ladies and gentlemen, Jimmy Marr.
Oh, yes.
Yes, Marbo. Welcome to the fold, Jumbo.
Not sure. Thanks, about attractive boys. left-hand batsman. Not sure about that one.
Oh, please, Junior. I caught you in your last game, didn't I?
You did too. You did catch me in my last game. Why didn't you let me get 100, Marbo?
What for?
You should have.
You never got one of the Gabba.
Best thing about Marbo is he's a Bulldog supporter.
Oh, brilliant.
In the NRL.
There we go. But anyway, I know it was Haydos that brought Jimmy Marr into the fold, obviously looking to get as many Queenslanders on the show as
yes,
possible.
Yes, Jim, we've got to restore a little bit of balance on this show.
Tell you what, we're outnumbered here, Cookie.
I did used to live with Haydos, and I did all the domestic duties as well, so nothing's changed.
You would have done a fair bit of cooking, or actually a lot of eating, I'd say, Marbo, wouldn't you?
There was a lot of dollar pizzas in there, I know that.
How was Haydos's cooking back in those days?
Nah, he's always been a good cook. I've got to give him that.
Oh, yeah, thanks, Jim. Yeah. Thanks, mate.
When it was my turn, I'd dial a pizza.
I've got a rate.
I was going to say, what's your forte, Marbo, in cooking steaks?
What's the jingle? I reckon you got it down pat, Marbo.
All right, so look, we're obviously going to enjoy the next couple of hours with Jimmy Marr as our guest co-host. And, man, what a get. And I know he's another Queenslander, but don't hold that against him. He's one of the legends of our game.
Is he, Cookie?
Alan Border.
Well, technically he's a New South Welshman.
Yes. Oh, okay, yes. Sorry.
North Sydney boys high.
There we go.
Mossman boy.
And then spent a lot of time, obviously,
he's
playing.
Gone to the dark side, though.
Yeah.
Going up north.
Great stuff, though. First of the second hour, first guest in the second hour, Alan Border, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, he's a champion.
Wait for that. Andy Bickle, we'll check in with him in the first 20 minutes of the show.
Another Queenslander?
Actually, Haydos. What's going on?
Well, get your ears on again, Junior.
Anyway.
But technically, AB is definitely a blueback.
All right, so good. Okay, it's even a score.
I just said that, you idiot.
Stop arguing. So. Anyway, this is not a question. Willow Talk. Stick around. You're listening to Willow Talk with Mark Waugh, Matthew Hayden, and Jimmy Marr is filling in for Swanee, who will be back next week. 26 one-day internationals for Australia for Jimmy Marr, Haydos, and obviously we are moving in and we are in amongst the one-day phase of the tour.
Yeah, and it's also doing some very good work for cricket. Jimbo? The Bulls Masters, the Country Challenge, when's that on and what's that all about?
Yeah, mate, we actually just got back from Mackay today and went up there to launch it. The Bulls Masters Country Challenge is all about regional teams coming together, and they'll come together in Mackay in early October, and they play a 2020 competition, which the Bulls Masters supply a mentor for each team. So guys like Andrew Simons and Andy Bickle and Carl Rackerman will be with those teams from the regions, and then the two winning teams from that weekend come down and play a curtain raiser to a Brisbane Heat game at the Gabba. So it's a great opportunity
for regional
cricketers.
They must love that.
And it's great, and it's all funded by the Bulls Masters, so they get to go there and keeps the older bloke in the game as well as the young up and comer that might not ever get a chance to play at the.
We'll go steady, Jimmy. You're not old. I mean, you still surely can clip around the place.
Yeah, but we don't actually play, mate. We're just coaches, you know, mentors. You don't want to take up someone's spot, so. And I know Big Mocker can't bowl any balls anymore, so he's definitely best off in the coach's box, Big Mock.
Jeez, you would have lost a yard of pace a few old balls, wouldn't you?
Oh, no doubt about it, June. Right? No doubt.
I'll tell you what they haven't lost is the tummy bananas.
Tell you what we have too. I'll tell you what we have.
Good roof.
Still got sore arms from lifting those shields up all those years, I'll tell you.
See how we've done this beautifully. Jeez. We've replaced a Pommy who's gloating about the Ashes, and we've just wheeled in a Sheffield Shield winning captain to just gloat a little bit.
Well, it took you 80 years to get one.
isn't it? No, Jumbo,
come on.
Jeez, as slow as wet weeks getting one.
Wasn't that long ago. We always had to beat 14 when you were playing, when your old man was umpiring.
I tell you what, I think the Blues trophy cabinet would be a little bit fuller than the Queensland one still.
You had a couple more years though, June, in all fairness.
Now, guys, all this state-to-state squabbling is all well and good, but I mean, right. I know we were talking before we went on air about the one-day series, and perhaps in the past, Jimmy, Haydos and Junior, there might have been a bit more meaning. I know that you played for a Texaco trophy. Now it's kind of, well, we play five games, who wins, who loses, who cares. Do you sense that, Jimmy? I mean, do you sense there's maybe a slight element of pointlessness to all of it?
Oh, it's probably just a saturation of cricket, I guess. Gee, I remember playing in a TVS Cup, though, in India once. That was a big tournament, which we got the trophies in. But I don't reckon too many people, apart from those that played in it, remember it. But, yeah, there is a lot of cricket like that, I guess, at the moment. But I suppose it's still a big thing for the players, and obviously playing for your country is...
Yeah, I was going to say, Cookie, you wouldn't mind playing a one-day international for Australia.
No, it's great. I just wonder if we know what we're playing for, the fans. How do you engage in it as a fan? Should I care whether we win or lose this series?
Well, I think you should. I mean... There'll be packed houses in these, you know, the 5-1 days in this series. There's a lot to play for. Each individual player, they're, you know, playing for, you know, a spot in the team for their career. So although, you know, it's not a World Cup and it's the end of the Ashes, you know, I still think there's plenty of interest there. And each player who gets a chance, there's a lot of young players playing in this series for Australia. You know, look at Ashton Agar, Joe Burns, Marcus Stoinis, Cummins, these sorts of guys. You know, they want to make their mark playing for Australia in any form of the cricket. So I think that's a bit to watch.
Yeah, well, I reckon you're right. But if there was a careometer, if that was such a thing, I reckon it'd be the needle would be right down on the lower end of the scale. I would have thought. You're right, June. Yeah. I like to hear a good positive outlook, and it's something the game always has to take care of. And if you say to people, you know, what do you think of Test cricket? Well, they'll say, you know, can't erode Test cricket, and I agree with that 100%. But then you asked these guys, when was the last time they went to see Test cricket, when they take their son, and they say, oh, mate, you know, a little while ago. And when it all comes down to it, it's about bums on seats, you know, within the game that generates the interest of the game. It's not all about the money, the broadcast rights and those that hold that. You've got to get that attraction. This is why I love programs like the Bulls Masters, because it's taking cricket to regional Australia. And I'm passionate, and I know, Jim, you're passionate about that. A lot of our great cricketers, you know, come from those nursing grounds within the centre of our country that love community sport, and cricket's one of them.
No doubt about it. And I think the other thing too, the one day is, Junior, all these games count towards your ICC ranking at the end of the year, don't they? So
they're quite
important in terms of the results.
And I think that ranking gets to put you in a certain group in the next World Cup. So
great. Yeah,
the next World Cup's a long
way
away.
But the punters don't care about that. That's the point. Like that's for us cricket heads who love all that stuff. Statistical nuts.
Snuffies.
We are. We're snuff boxes. But you know, when it actually all boils
Cookies
down to
nuffy.
It.
Look at him.
You've got to actually like watching the game. And look, it doesn't hold the interest. We may as well just admit that and play on.
It is Willow Talk. Our guest right after this, Andy Bickle, will join us. And remember, Alan Border in the second hour of the show. Stick around on Willow Talk. You're listening to Willow Talk with Mark Waugh, Matthew Hayden, Jimmy Marbo is filling in for Swanee this week, another great Queenslander in the building. And we've got another one on the phone, guys, made his test debut for the Australian cricket team.
Yes.
Adelaide 1996 against the Windies, part of the 2003 World Cup team, 19 tests, 67 one-dayers, and bowling coach for the Chennai Super Kings for the Indian Premier League in recent times. It is Andy Bickle on the line, guys.
Brisbane Bickle.
G'day, Bixie.
Oh, the big fella.
How are you, boys? All right?
Cookie just said in your tagline, bowling coach for the Chennai Super Kings. Now, is that still the case, or are they on the banned list? What's happening there, Joe?
Well, we're not sure at this stage. It's still in the committee's hands to what the next move is. Obviously, the IPL needs 8 teams to run the tournament, so... It will be interesting to see our fate, but, with the rich son-in-law placing a bet bringing the whole Chennai Super Kings into disrepute, the Supreme Court's made a decision, and the Chennai Super Kings out of the competition for the next 2 years. So how that looks for us is, I'm not sure, Jimmy, but who knows? It could spin any which way, but the Supreme Court's pretty hefty hand down.
Mate, we hear a lot about it back here in Oz. Have you ever been approached? Or do you ever see it, like in and around the hotels, or what happens?
No, I haven't. I haven't been approached. We're pretty much in lockdown during a tournament. It, And Matty could probably speak as well. He just visited recently, and even for him to get onto our level at a hotel is quite intense.
With tough. Security
around,
good.
And you know, they're there monitoring everything you do. So it's come a long way, I think, in as far as the security and the protection of the players, and I think that's only a good thing for the game, and therefore the people can, you know, really bank on the fact that it is genuine, you know, and that's the good thing about it.
Righto, no more four corners questions. I will see to the recent Ashes. Hey, Vic,
it's a grilling, isn't it?
Jeez, Vic, there's been Ray Martin in here.
Yeah,
it's been a lot spoken. Vic, there's been a fair bit spoken about the batting in the recent Ashes that wasn't up to standard. What do you think of the bowling, mate? The fast bowlers, it didn't quite come to terms with the conditions. Or the Duke ball. What do you make of how we performed?
Yeah, look, I think, you know, it was a really funny tournament, really, with an Ashes series, because one team got in front and the other team just seemed to lay down. It's a little bit like stock market at the moment, isn't it? It's up and down like a yo-yo. But
Junior definitely know about that. He loves it.
Enough trouble punting on horse without the stock market.
But I think Australia. I think if you're marking them out of 10, they were undisciplined at times, and I think the losing of Ryan Harris around that mentoring of those young blokes in those conditions was hard. And
but you've got Billy McDermott, though. Surely, I mean, he's, you know, equally as good as any one of those names you just mentioned.
Well, unfortunately, can't bowl, though, Haydos. He's coaching, so.
Yeah, well, that's what he's saying. Mentoring, Jumbo. That's what we're talking about.
It's a bit hard to bowl. You've only got 60 to play with.
Is it that big a difference bowling with the Duke pill than the Kookaburra, or is that an excuse?
I think it is an excuse. Yeah, I enjoyed, obviously playing county cricket. I enjoy bowling with the Duke ball. It's unique to the Kookaburra, and I think, you know, it's one of those things you've got to get used to. It has Josh Hazlewood bowl with the Duke ball enough. I'm not sure. Has Mitchell Starc bowled with the Duke ball enough? Probably not. Mitchell Johnson, yes, he's experienced it, so he should be close to the mark. But, you know, you need everyone bowling and putting the ball under pressure, and I don't think we did that. We were four balls and over where we were good, and two we weren't. And and Jimmy and Haydos think that, you know, at most of the times at the Gabba I did that, but I got away with it. So
not a cricket question. We love to talk cricket on the show, naturally, but I'm sitting here and I'm watching you with a couple of other dopey big fellas beside you holding up Golden Snapper from a photo up in the TV Islands, mate. What are you doing now? What do you love your fishing, or what's going on in your life?
Well, what an event run by the Hayden and Reynolds crew. We went to the TV Islands and the great program that's in place up there in the Indigenous community where they're, you know all about that, Matty, but
yeah.
It's always good to get away and do a bit of fishing. And look, I didn't get the biggest barrow of all, but it got a few. And look, I'm up to Darwin again tomorrow, and it's nice to be able to move around. But yes, that was a good event at the Tiwi Islands. It's a special place up there, and the community appreciate the boys every time they go up.
Yeah, sounds like a great initiative. Haydos, have you ever got Junior fishing? He doesn't seem to be.
Well, I've asked him, but he's a bit of a snob.
I do eat a lot of fish.
I reckon, hey, Bick, I reckon Junior would have a pretty good time. And Marbo, you've got to be next cab off the rank,
sure. Don't take me with Bick, but I always out fishing. He's got all the flash gear.
Is there any technique in fishing? You just throw the bloody line in, don't you?
Andy Bickle, fantastic to have Andy on the show. Obviously played 67 one-day internationals for Australia and 19 tests. And look, obviously, best of luck with the Chennai Super Kings going forward. We hope that does all turn out for the best. Absolutely. And thanks for joining us on Willow Talk, Andy.
Thanks, you.
Yeah,
buddy.
Thanks, guys. Cheers, boys. Enjoy.
You, buddy.
Jimmy Ma, get those questions ready, mate, because you'll be reading them instead of Swanee this week. Stump Junior not far away. We're going to test Junior's cricket trivia. You've got them there, and are they difficult, Marbo? How are they looking there?
Mate, they're quite tough. I'm not sure Junior's going to be up to these. They're all about the millionth.
I hope you made them really tough.
Okay.
Mate, my average is pretty good, Marbo. I'm about 4 out of 5.
2.9 is where you should be at,
rubbish,
I reckon.
Jumbo. Okay. I got more than that last week.
Well, we'll see how he goes up next on Willow Talk. You're listening to Willow Talk, Mark Waugh, Matthew Hayden and Jimmy Maher filling in for Graham Swan. This is Stump Junior, where we ask Junior cricket trivia questions and he reads them off his answer sheet.
not all the time. That's okay. Not true.
Jimmy Maher is filling in.
So some of the time.
Right. Yeah. Ooh. Good point, Haydos.
Yes. Jimmy a little pick-up, isn't that, for the listeners?
Filling in for Graham Swan. Normally it's Swanee that asks these. We get that sort of England-Australia rivalry. It's more a Queensland-New South Wales rivalry here with Jimmy Maher filling in for Swanee. Johnny. He's got your questions. Get ready, Junior. Here we go, Marbo. Go.
Thanks, Cookie. I'll tell you what, these are hard up. You got Google ready there, Junior. But the first one is in which
a friend.
In which over, in which test, was the millionth delivery in Test cricket in England Bowl?
Millionth delivery.
Oh, mate, that's no easy. Right. That is so easy. Is that the best you got, Marbo? That would be the 16th over of the fourth test at Trent Bridge.
Oh, beautiful.
Oh, no way, June.
Unbelievable, June. How did you get that right? And I didn't write these either,
Dopey. I know so my millionth trivia questions on cricket.
Millionth delivery? You'd think there would have been more than that. So bowlers have got no real need to carry on, have they?
Not wrong.
That many deliveries, is it?
Mm. Not unbelievable. Really. This is, the second question. Well, another, I'll know on the this millionth one, surely. Theme. Who bowled the millionth delivery in the history of Test cricket in England?
This will test you out whether you really are reading it, June, because if you knew it was in the 16th over, you surely got to know
it was
at bowling.
Trent Bridge, and that was when we had an absolute debacle, didn't we?
What's the odds, Jim? 1-5? How many
Trent
bowlers?
That's right. It would have been one of the quick bowlers because we were knocked over for 60, weren't we, at Trent Bridge? So I'm going to go with Ben Stokes.
Oh, beautiful.
Oh, that's correct.
Wow.
Cookie.
That's Cookie.
This is a rort.
Lodging
a
protest.
Is there match fixing here? Or what's
this will absolutely
protest.
Prove it.
Second against first.
What was the delivery that he bowled?
Siren. It was either an in-swinger or an out-swinger. I'll go in-swinger. Jesus.
Correct.
Wasn't going
to
be
left. Shot to a left-hander or to a right-hander?
You should know. You know the answer to all this. All right, question three. This is dodgy.
You got any tougher questions, Marbo, or what?
Righto, mate. Ease up. What happened to the millionth delivery bowl by Ben Stokes in Test cricket in England? What happened?
This is the actual delivery where he bowled an in-swinger.
It was probably a wicket, but that's probably seems like a logical answer, so I'm not going to go with that. I'm going to say it was hit for a four.
Oh, beautiful.
Who top scored? Who got some runs in that game?
Score was seven. So,
Top score was seven.
Extras.
No, David Warner.
Correct.
I
reckon it was a way swinger.
I think I might just go make a coffee.
In swinging to the right-hander.
Make me one too. You haven't done that for a while anyway. Question four, Junior.
Out of three. How good am I going?
Three out of three. You're on the paint. You've kicked two clear. You slingshot around the bend.
Going for home.
Who bowled the first ever ball in Test cricket in England in 1880?
No, you can't get this one.
No way. I'm good on the millionth ones, but first ever ball.
First ever pellet.
WG Grace, was he around in those days? He would have been playing, wouldn't he?
Who bowled the ball?
Who bowled the first pellet? Was he an Aussie?
He was.
Yep,
he was.
Henry Boyle.
Correct.
Oh, beautiful.
Jeez, your knowledge of 1880s cricket is outstanding.
Oh, how good is he?
To get Boyle. Those checked
out. Seriously, Jim.
How good is Henry
he?
Boyle?
Wow.
He's all class.
This last one. It's not in your interest to answer this correctly.
I should get this one.
Okay.
What number ball was the ball of the century from Warne to Gatting?
Well, in the history of cricket.
In the history,
in the history of cricket. So what ball number was it in the history of cricket?
That's a big question.
I'm cheating if I answer this right.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, yeah,
it's shockers, but we do it.
As opposed to the first four.
705th.
I can't even say it.
Correct.
705-224.
Well, he's... Hill. Wow.
Yes, dude, that's
correct.
Perfect.
This is why
all revealed. All has been revealed.
Why do we ever doubt his abilities? 705,224 balls were bowled when Warne got Gatting. Well done.
I knew that.
Excellent, mate.
Stump Junior is back next week on
Will I Talk. It's not back.
Will I Talk. Hey, coming up not too far away, Alan Border will join us, the legend himself, Alan Border, and the boys getting ready with their stories to tell us something we didn't know. The cricket fans love these. It's where you share a story that is just so deep and revealing that we go, wow, can't believe it.
Wow.
It's coming up on Will I Talk. On Willow Talk with Mark Waugh, Matthew Hayden and Jimmy Maher filling in for Graham Swan. It is time for Tell Me Something We Didn't Know. Byron Cook over here. I play judge here, Jimmy Marbo. And look, basically it's a competition. Who can tell the most revealing story, a story that makes the cricket fan go, no way, can't believe it. So good luck. The more revealing, the more honest, the better. And you can take it away, Jimmy.
Don't know if it's one of those, mate, but a lot of the listeners wouldn't know that I actually had a horse years ago with Kim and Mark called Year of the Cat. Most cats ran faster than it too.
I ran a couple of places, Marbo.
Had a little bit of pace.
Had bad knees, though.
I was in India playing the ICL and...
Junior was ringing to let me know that it was about to run. And after the race, he rang back and said, oh, mate, it was going real well to the turn. It, you know, he got stuck wide. Corey Brown got stuck three wide on it, four wide on it. So where'd it run? He said, oh, it was a good run. It was a solid 10th.
You can run a good
tenth. Dress that up, seriously.
Hey, well, yeah, that was, been that was, in other words, keep paying the bills, Marbo.
might have got beat only a couple of lengths, a close-up 10th.
Actually, it would interest cricket fans. How many other cricketers have you and your lovely wife, Kim, sort of brought in?
Roped into the horse industry?
Yeah, there's Jimmy Mars, one of your victims.
Only a few gullible ones.
Ryan Harris.
Ryan Harris. Well, Ricky Ponting's in a horse called Forget, which has won...
Oh, that just wins.
Three or four of its last five in the city. It's running very well at the moment. So I've got to get Haydos into a horse.
No, come on.
You've got thousands tucked away in your little...
I've got a menagerie of animals already. I've got three dogs, 120,000 chooks. I'm out, Jerry.
I've got a racehorse champ.
Okay. Yeah, but what for?
Anyway. What's for so you can have a bit of fun and lose some money and
pay letters to you guys. That's what I'd be doing.
All right, Junior,
what
your
was
story,
my
mate?
Story?
No, but I was going to talk about my race call. I put all the names of the Australian cricketers in South Africa on one of the tours, and I named them all. So I had like Ears Gilly was Dumbo out of Listener. We had Warnie was Wipe Your Ass with 50s by Spend a Lot Out of Buckets. You had Emperor Big Nose, which is Andy Bickle. He was Cartilage Out of Sneeze. Shrek, which was Darren Lehman, was Jabba the Hutt out of Yoda. And then I did a call on a tape, and Adam Gilchrist and I did all these ads leading into it, and the boys had to bet on it and all that sort of thing. Yeah. So, it you know, down to the 200, it was something like around the 200-meter mark here in the Durban Cup, and they're charging to the line here. Here's Gilly is on the outside. Chinese captain's coming at them from Emperor Big Nose, the Walrus. Here's Wipe Your Ass with 50s from the clouds. It's coming like no tomorrow. Here comes Wipe Your Ass with 50s. He's going to get to the line. He got the chop. He beat Emperor Big Nose by short half head, and the Shrek come forth, and Sir Crank-a-Lot is just chiming in at the back.
That was sensational. You guys have so much spare time on tour. That is unbelievable.
That's what you do when you're 13th man.
Sick of peeling the oranges. You've got to do something else.
Wow, that's going to be hard to beat. Junior.
I've got nothing.
All right, move on. Haydos, what do you got?
I've actually got a couple of little ones, but nothing.
No, nothing that'll match that. Well, just retired hurt.
You don't want
mine? No, you've retired hurt. Let's move on to Haydos.
Okay, AB, South African theme as well,
Cookie's
Marbo.
Taking over here.
In a test match, Cape Town test match. And this is, June, you were playing this test match as well. And AB was really, really grumpy. And we're in trouble.
Clear the decks.
Remember, we were in real trouble. And that was...
I remember this.
So what happens is at the end of the day, he was sledging, you know, basically all the South African boys. And comes in at the end of the day. And there's Alan Border and David Boone, and might have been even you or Tugger, June, sitting next to him. Mm. And he's got a Glock in his hand.
A what?
A Glock, a pistol. and he points the rifle the pistol straight at Alan Border, and he says, "Hey, AB, many people die in South Africa every day. What? One more won't go missing." And then he drops the gun. Remember, we all just. You see this big, tough Australian captain, and he's shelling it. And where do you go from there? Do you remember that story, June?
Horrifying. Yeah. I mean,
how's that?
That is amazing.
That's
the
first story on this show that has involved guns. I mean, this is just.
That's what they do, don't they?
Did you want to quickly hear my story? No.
Yeah, come
really.
On.
Yeah, I'll do an AB one once again in South Africa at Johannesburg.
Yep.
How's my South African accent?
No, you're pretty good. Yep.
Anyway, we were battling a bit, and. AB could not hit the ball off the square.
That's
he'd batted all day for nothing, really. Anyway, tea time, he come in the dressing room. He was sweating and a bit frustrated with his own form.
He's batting with Boone, too, isn't he?
And Heels,
yep.
Smart-ass Heels,
yep.
Gets his bat, takes his bat off him, and puts it in a bucket of ice.
Yeah,
he says,
that's right.
I've got to put this in ice. This bat is on fire, AB. What a stupid thing to say to AB. And AB just ripped his head off and ripped everyone else he could see in the dressing room's head off.
Oh, yeah. That was solid. Actually, that was very solid.
Yeah. His first line was, I hope you're joking.
Yeah.
And that's when Ian Healy's just glazed over.
Just and shrunk. And everyone else was stuck for cover, didn't they?
Yeah.
All good stories. Hayden's was particularly distressing and disturbing, but we will give it to Jimmy Marr.
Yes. Go for the young bloke.
The sort of things that go on tour.
The boo.
Oh. Fans love that stuff.
Some encouragement.
Well done there, Marbo. Yep. Jimmy Marr wins. He takes the crown.
Takes the chocolate,
I'll tell you what, coming up after this
chocolate. Yeah.
Two out of three stories there were about Alan Border, and he is our guest. He's not far away. The legend himself, Alan Border, joining us on Willow Talk.
The first test match between Australia and England was played in Melbourne in 1877.
One of our enthusiasms is a game, this game called cricket.
In 1882, after the first win by Australia at the Oval in England, it's been known as the Ashes. The Poms and the Aussies have been trading blows with Willow and Leather ever since. Now, Ashes-winning legends Matthew Hayden and Mark Junior War have teamed up with English spin sensation Graham Swanee Swan to bring you their views, their opinions, and show off their many other talents while Australia tours England. This is Willow Talk with Haydos, Junior and Swanee.
Jimmy Maher is filling in for Graham Swan this week. Of course, 26 one-day internationals for Jay Maher and an attractive left-handed batsman with a clumping cover drive.
Attractive.
Attractive. Actually, yeah, you know, he took my spot. I got injured. I actually, once in my career, I got a torn hamstring and Mabo took my spot. That was your debut game in Sydney, Mabo, I think. Was it?
Junior, yeah. We towered up New Zealand. No, I only got about 15, I think.
Never mind. Anyway.
Glad we brought that up. Jimmy is
And they went back to you, the old timer.
Filling in for Graham Swan is Jimmy Maher, Matthew Hayden and Mark Waugh on Willow Talk. Up next, man, you have a wish list of guests that you want on this show. This guy is right up there. Alan Border.
Damn.
Wow. He's joining
the
us.
The biggest fish.
Next.
Real big fish.
On Willow Talk. You're listening to Willow Talk with Mark Waugh, Matthew Hayden, and Jimmy Maher is filling in for Graham Swan this week. It's Byron over here. What an honour. How good is it to have this man?
This is the number one seed on this show.
Oh,
big fish.
He is the biggest fish.
And we've had some good gets, but what about this? Captain the Aussies for 10 years, 156 tests, over 11,000 runs, won the 89 Ashes. Order of Australia. Need we go on? The highest medal in Australian cricket is named after him. It's Alan Border.
You can't be wrong, can they?
There you go. Good
How are you, AB, mate? You've seen some cricket in your day. You've just been over there. I believe you've also been to Turkey. What do you make of all this over the last couple of months?
Well, some crazy cricket played, wasn't there? It was hard to watch as an Australian. I mean, maybe if we play all our test matches in London might help, but the other three were just crazy stuff. You know, it didn't, once one side put their nose in front, the other side just capitulated. So it was very disappointing from that point of view.
Mate, it must have been tough sitting amongst those pommies in the crowd too. You were part of a tour group over there. I saw you just sitting there and, you know, twiddling your thumbs while we were getting beaten in a few of the test matches. That must have been tough.
Yeah, well, I was at Trent Bridge, unfortunately, and how long did that innings last? About 18, 23 overs. And I couldn't believe it. Yeah, we're copping a fair bit, as you can imagine. We got a little bit back at the Oval, but it was a done deal by then, wasn't it? The chance we're going up. You know, we're 3-1 up, stand up if you're 3-1 up, that type of stuff. And hard work sitting out with the punters, but mate, at least we've got somebody back at the Oval.
AB Mabo here, mate. Obviously disappointing the result, but I've got to say that it's become quite apparent that our batsmen really struggle when the ball swings or the wickets do a little bit. Do you put any of that down to the quality of the shield wickets and the fact that they've all become a bit benign and a bit placid?
You can look at that. I tend to look at the coaching of the young batsmen these days. I mean, we're all about the power hitting and not letting the bowlers dominate you. You know, go out there and, you know, play your shots regardless of the circumstances. And that seems to be ingrained. I mean, we've got a few, you know, older heads in there, like, Chris Rogers type player, and he showed, you know, the value of, you know, just some good old hard-nosed type work ethic at the crease. And it seems to deserve a lot of our younger players. And you're right, Marbo, the swinging and seaming ball. I mean, it's not easy. But you don't expect to make 60. You know, that wasn't a wicket that was that bad. But anyway, there's a bit of work to do, particularly in that area against that swinging, seaming ball. I think we showed in the last go of the Oval where the ball was doing a little bit, particularly in those first couple of hours, what a little bit of dedication can produce at the end of the day. So.
I'll tell you what's good, AB. It's good to be talking to a past selector because the current one that we've got sitting in our student, he's been coming under all sorts of scrutiny under this show. What do you make of these selectors?
Higher pay for less play.
Yeah.
You're a bit fast bowler these days, don't you? You get that much time off, it's ridiculous.
Look at Junior. He's gone really quiet, Cookie.
Yeah, he's a little shy here, Junior. One of your four selectors here.
The godfather's spoken.
What do you want me to say? What can I come back with?
Well, the usual suspects, mate. All not the one on tour.
Mate, he's a bit like the New South Wales Origin team. They go and miss him.
We had good enough players to win that series, you know. Come on.
Do you put he's, it well and, he's well and truly ganged up on here today. Oh, I'm loving it, AB.
I'm squirming in my chair here.
He is. His face has gone all red.
But AB, do you put any of it down to the selectors?
That's enough from you.
Look, I think it's all the selectors' fault, isn't it? And the wives.
Well, I think it was Backus's fault, wasn't it?
Yeah, let's blame Backus. His fault.
Now, guys, obviously, look, it's all a bit depressing talking about us losing the Ashes. So, AB, if you've got time, obviously, we'd love to maybe go back to some stories. Obviously, I know Marbo here, Jimmy Marr's got a bit on you from the Queensland days, as does Haydos. Can you hang around?
Yeah, I can hang around for that especially.
Excellent stuff. Alan Border is our guest on Willow Talk. You're listening to Willow Talk with Mark Waugh, Matthew Hayden and Jimmy Marr. Marbo is filling in for Graham Swan this week. Alan Border is our guest. Fantastic to have AB on the line. Obviously, captain of the Aussies for 10 years. The Alan Border medal named after him. One of the greats. Good to have him on the show. Jimmy, we'll let you kick things off, mate.
I just wondered if AB, whilst we got Haydos on the show, this is very important. AB, I'm not
it's
sure.
It's my moment, Haydos, is it now?
I'm not sure that Haydos yet knows who the culprits were for that time in Adelaide when he got that pair at the Adelaide Oval. And remember that there was a letter written to Matthew, and it went something along the lines of, "Dear Matt, welcome to our exclusive club, the Double Duck Club. We have a function on this week, and the menu is Peking duck. Roast duck, and our specialty is the double duck burger. The function's on the corner of Zero Street and Globe Terrace. Please come as a pair. You're more than welcome to bring your partner. Please reply to this email as soon as possible." And then we were actually walking around the Meyer Centre in Adelaide that day trying to find these live ducks, but we couldn't get them to release in his room. And then the concierge had this wild duck shooting tours thing available, so he slipped that under his door as well, and Haydos. We were a bit bored on that day.
Went down like a lead balloon from memory.
Well, it's a little bit like getting hit in the nuts, isn't it? Everyone finds it funny apart from that bloke that's been hit.
The double duck burger, I loved it, yeah.
Hey, I don't know if you remember, AB, but what happened the very next game, talk about Murphy's Law, hey, where it all boomerang back to Jimmy Marr, who... Yeah, unfortunately got a duck in the next season. And when it came back, how did you feel about that, Jumbo?
Yeah, it wasn't real good. I walked, that was in at Belle Reve, and I lost me top of my leg stump. Big Jared Denton just missed it down the leg side. But you didn't give me much chance. Jeez, I got off the ground, and he'd already stuck the ducks to the top of my coffin. Didn't take long for me to swipe them off.
Hey, Haydos and Marbo, you played under AB as a captain, so did I. His nickname was Captain Grumpy. We know of a few regulation stories where he's pretty grumpy, that one in England and the UK tour where he gave Billy McDermott a spray at Somerset. Have you guys got any – AB, can you remember any times you really ripped into Haydos and Marbo as a captain?
I did get a letter from the ICC. I remember when I was a selector, I got a letter from the ICC bringing the game into disrepute when we picked Marbo as a keeper. Can you believe it?
Oh, please. I can't believe you dropped me. I got 140 and you give me the coken.
Actually, AB, look, in terms of preparation, mate, we have the Flight Centre question of the week. Flight Centre, be prepared and book early at flightcentre.com.au. Did you, I'm sure the boys could probably out you if you don't have a story, just quirky preparation habits for you, AB, going into games?
I wasn't too superstitious. I went through a period where I, you know, grew a beard because Bjorn Borg grew a beard during Wimbledon and he won about, what, five or six in a row or something. So... The old Bjorn
Borg.
What
did you call him, Dion?
What's his name? Bjorn Borg.
Dion Borg. Bjorn Borg, yeah. I say he went the anyway, Bjorn Borg beard.
Borg used to grow a beard, so I did too. That was the only suspicion I had, I think. I can't remember anything else. The boys might pick up on something, I don't know.
Well, I reckon, you know, you and Swampy Marsh and Babsy, you know, sitting up around the bar was a pretty good tradition. You know, 6 to 8 beers, maybe a few more every night, just, you know, talking about the game, swatting up. Yeah, well,
that's good preparation. What's
100%, mate. You know, that's right. It doesn't matter. And that's what I kept on saying to the young blokes as well. You don't have to sit there and drink, obviously, but just to be able to sit and entertain yourself and talk about the game and tell the old stories, it's great. It's what you miss about cricket, isn't it?
Well, I think, somewhere in between. We probably drank a little bit too much in those days, but somewhere in between wouldn't hurt the players, I don't think.
Well, Boone, you did anyway.
You blokes there. I had a couple, but Bloody hell, Marbo. At least a dozen. Oh,
please. Mate, 4X Gold were the major sponsor. You had to look after them.
It was only mid-strength though, wasn't it, Marbo?
That's right.
Gee, it's very different having Graham Swan in the studio, isn't it, Jimmy Marr? It's quite a difference. Alan Border, just fantastic to have you on the show, mate. Yes. We really appreciate your time. And obviously going forward, how many more weeks have we got? We'll never get AB on the show again.
Where are you, AB? Are you in Dubbo or somewhere?
Well, I'm on a family jaunt. I'm actually in Mildura. You know how
you're picking oranges.
Sometimes you just got to do things that you know, I don't get a choice in these things. I just have to turn up. But, I'm happily having a weekend with my wife's family. So it's, good fun.
Well, enjoy, AB. Fantastic to have you. I'm sure you're probably quite glad to take some time out from that. Good to have you on board. Alan Border, ladies and gentlemen, on Willow Talk. Thanks for joining the boys.
Cheers, guys.
Thanks, AB. See you, mate.
Coming up, we'll be talking Help for Heroes. This is a charity match being put together by a bunch of cricketers. Our very own Graham Swan and Matthew Hayden are heavily involved.
Head to head, Cookie.
Rest of the world. Haydos is a representative of the rest.
Get tickets for that? I'll be there.
Yeah, well, we'll discuss shortly right here on Willow Talk. You're listening to Willow Talk with Mark Waugh, Matthew Hayden. Jimmy Marr is filling in for Graham Swan. And the Help for Heroes match. This is a charity match being played in London, I believe, Haydos. London, yes?
Yeah, London. It's on the 17th of September, Cookie.
Wow.
At the Oval. Oh. So, you can't get a better venue than that, I would have thought. And Australians, you know how much we love playing at the Oval.
Well, this is unbelievable. So it's the Help for Heroes 11 versus the rest of the world. Now, very own Matthew Hayden will be on the rest of the world side. But Jimmy Marr, you're having a look at the squads. That Help for Heroes 11, they look more than useful.
They are. We've just heard Haydos's team. But I tell you what, they're up against some stiff opposition.
Andrew
Strauss
trouble,
and Herschel Gibbs. Two South Africans. We call them both South Africans. Eh? He's not a pommy, Strauss-y. Verinder Sehwag. Mahendra Singh Dhoni.
Sehwag or?
Sehwag. Sehwag. Damien Martin. Lieutenant Commander Jonathan Parker. Marto always sneaks in for a corporate game, doesn't he? Corporal Jake Ray. Shahid Afridi. Graham Swan. This is the attack. All England attack. Graham Swan, Simon Jones, Matthew Hoggard, and Darryl, big Darryl Goff.
We'll
be right with Jones. He won't hit the cut stuff, Jones.
Goffy, you'll give him
a touch. Goffy would be all right. Wouldn't he be quite fleet of foot still, wouldn't he? I would have thought. Didn't he win Dances with the Stars, the UK version?
He did too, he did.
I gave him a touch up in the beach cricket a few years ago.
Did you?
Really?
Yeah, they can't find a coach, which is surprising. TBC. Maybe that's got something to do with the fact that Sir Ian Botham's the manager. The coach,
yeah,
pretty scared of that. I would have thought
captain, coach, and absolute legend.
Don't need a coach, do you?
Well, what's it in aid of though, Haydos? Obviously, your manager is Sunil Gavaskar, and there's a Sir Ian Botham. I mean, Brian Lara is playing. I mean, these are the biggest names in cricket.
Well, it's actually a sensational organisation. If you go to www.helpforheroes.org.uk, you can see how you actually give, and you're giving basically to our wounded and injured and sick that are wartime. Heroes and look, when you go to that website, you see Theodore Roosevelt's comments on the 4th of July in the early 1900s. He says, "A man who is good enough to shed his blood for his country is good enough to be given a fair deal afterwards," which I reckon's a pretty good point, boys.
Yep. Good point, exactly.
So plenty of heroes, plenty of wartime heroes, and I guess all the boys have, come from all over the world. And we're not talking about real old timers. We're talking about absolute current players. Like Joe Wooden has just retired. You've got MS Dhoni. You can't get a bigger name than MS Dhoni and Sehwag. I mean, those two guys alone will pull a huge crowd, I'm sure, especially in London.
Of Indians, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
All right, mate. You'd be flying economy to that one too, Haydos, wouldn't you?
Yeah, well, I'll be dipping my bread for certain on that way. I mean, it's going to be fantastic. And I love London. I mean, how good a place is London?
Yeah, and will we be able to watch that, Haydos? I mean, will there be a stream of that or
mate,
something
I'm
for the fans?
Mate, I'm not sure. Yeah, Cookie, I'm not sure about that, mate. But maybe just go to the website and have a look. And I think more than anything, there's so much need, isn't there? But this is a beauty.
Yeah, that's a great course. So that is Help for Heroes and our very own Matthew Hayden, part of that Rest of the World team, which has been coached by Gary
I just
Kirsten.
Want to tonk Graham Swan. How good would that be? If I get out to Graham Swan, seriously, I am not turning up to this show. I'm going to block him, June.
It'd be like taking weed off blind chooks. You'll hammer him, Haydos.
Coming up, Swanee, of course, back next week on Willow Talk. Jimmy Marr is filling in for him this week. We'll be sharing some Ashes moments. That is next on Willow Talk. You're listening to Willow Talk. Mark Waugh, Matthew Hayden, and Jimmy Marr has been filling in for Graham Swan and doing a tremendous job. It's Byron over here. Guys, normally this is the Ashes moments. We'll broaden it to Ashes tour moments now that we're in the one-day phase of the tour. And we'll kick it off with you, Junior.
It's good because I was running out of actual test series.
moments.
How can you say that, June?
No, I'm joking, Hayden.
Played for so long.
I'm joking.
You were a bit dull in the change room, but you got some good yarn, surely.
I just minded my own business. Something you should have done a lot more in the dressing room. Bloody pest. My moment is from the T20 fixture last week in Cardiff. Even though we lost, Stephen Smith's innings was absolutely superb. What a cracking innings. 90 of 53 deliveries. When he got out, unfortunately, we folded up like a pack of cards. We needed 59 of 7 overs with, I think, 6 wickets in hand, which you should do.
Yeah, very doable.
In a canter, really, in T20 cricket. Unfortunately, we lost our way once Smithy got out, but his batting, it amazes me. Every sort of time you see him, he just goes to a new level, and his innings the other night was an absolute cracker. So that's my Ashes tour moment.
We'll mark that down. Marbo, Jimmy Marr, yours?
Yeah, mate, I obviously didn't go on an Ashes tour, but I was fortunate one year to be playing county cricket up in Durham. And Big Buck, the old Pluto, the big walrus, called me up one day. And,
we've had him on the show too. He's been very good.
Listeners would have gone to sleep that day. But
you guys have got nicknames for everybody. Who the hell's the walrus? Who actually is that?
Have a look at him. Big dopey, you know, moustache and, you know, gets around with his knocked knees and stuff like that. You know, big walrus.
Good athlete, isn't he?
Big Buey and Brute Bernard. Yeah, they called me up from Durham. So I got the train down five hours.
I still don't know who it is.
John Buchanan.
Yeah, right,
the professor.
Wake up, Cookie.
Come on, Cookie, lift. I was on the Newcastle to London train, and I was like happy as a fat spider. I wasn't anywhere near the Australian cricket team, and got to go and sit there for 5 days during the test match, and it was raining in Durham, something different, and it was the last test Australia had to win. And I got to be the 13th man and be, you know, had the whites on and was ready to go on field. And even though I should have been playing, Haydos and Langer were in there, but I was back there at the time.
It probably should have been too. We were no good.
We ended up getting rolled, but big Haydos got 100 in that. So I was happy to be at that test match. That was my Ashes moment.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Excellent stuff. And over to you, Haydos, to bring this baby home.
Okay. Well, mine's a story from recent times as well, because that's pretty much our theme. I went over, and the kids did as well, as a family. We went over to support my wife, Kel, run the London Marathon. And while we're in London, we decided to take the kids to Lord's, you know, the home of cricket. Anyways, all the ways in the underground, I was wording the kids up to say, you know, you've got to be really worried because no one is allowed on the ground. Not even the pigeons are allowed on the ground. You know, when they sprinkle the seeds, it's hallowed turf. And so we walked to the sort of the front gates of Lords, and I went up to the individual who was the security guard, and I said, "Oh, look, do you mind if I come in? I'm an MCC member," and that sort of the kids were kind of like raising their eyebrows at that, you know, Dad, you know, what a name dropper, you know. Anyway, we got in without too much resistance, but I got onto the actual the turf itself, and I put a foot on the turf, and my son Josh, he came and he said, "Mate, what are you doing?" I said, "Nah, I reckon we'll be right. I reckon we'll be right, Josh." So I said, "Come on." And I had to actually drag the kids on by their hand because they're that scared. And I'm walking across the ground, and I get about a quarter of the way into the ground, and Michael Hunt jumps off his roller, and he starts storming towards the kids, waving his hand.
Looking up.
I thought, "Oh, no, we really are in trouble here." Anyways, he comes up. He gives me a massive hug. He says, "Oh, Haydos, great to see you again." I thought, "Oh, this is just sport the gag, you know, Hunty's bloody sport my gig here."
So he's the curator, is he?
He's the curator of the ground. Yeah, right, that's okay. Right. Yeah. Yeah, and he's been there, June, for how long, mate? Was he there when you were an MCC?
He was, yeah, when I was an MCC ground staff, which was...
So he's been there forever, Cookie.
30 years ago.
Yeah, right, good old Mikey Hunt, yeah.
So then we get over to the edge of the pavilion. And then we get over to the edge of the pavilion.
Yeah.
And there on the right-hand side of the away dressing room, the two windows open up and a big voice comes, "Oi, what are you doing?" And I thought, "Oh, now I am going to cop it." And it was John Stevens, you know,
John Stevenson.
John Stevenson. From you played with him at Essex, right?
You played for England, yeah. Stanley Stevenson. Yeah,
I thought it was a lead singer of Noiseworks for a minute. I thought, what's he doing there?
And it was one of those moments.
He hasn't got a deep voice, though. He must have really pulled one.
Oh, he really, really, really let it go. Yeah,
a real soft Essex accent. Yeah.
So he says, "I know that walk from everywhere," as I was waddling across. Anyways, the whole experience was trying to show the kids, you know, the Ashes. And. And John pulled a few strings, and we weren't really dressed appropriately at either, I've got to say. And we wandered up through the old, beautiful old MCC museum. And, you know, the kids were able to get inside and see the urn. And the ashes is one of those things which we blew up, remember, a couple of years ago for not being able to come out to Australia. But, you know, if you ever get a chance, you know, to see the home of cricket and you actually get that special moment where you do see that little urn, I reckon that's as absolute good as it gets.
There we go.
That's good. That's the end of the show now, boys.
Yeah, no, I think we went well and truly overtime with that one from Haydos.
That was
long even by his standards. thank you very much. That's Matthew Hayden there with his Ashes moment. Jimmy Marr, great job, mate. Thanks for filling in for Swanee.
No worries, mate. Thanks, boys.
And, of course, Jimmy Marr, the most recent project for Jimmy is the Bulls Masters Country Challenge, October 2nd to 4th. Look that one up. Well worth looking up. Mm. And a big thanks to our guests, Andy Bickle and Alan Border for joining us. Will
all
I talk?
The Queenslanders.
Oh, it was a Queensland theme, wasn't it?
Welcome to A-Grade, Junior.
Swanee is back next week on Willow Talk.